Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Legends
Only.
Your week...
Keep it in.
Yeah. Your weekly...
Keep it in, part two.
Your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about... Legends only. And today, we will be discussing... And today, we'll...
Girl, find the note. Find the note.
Whatever. And today, we will be discussing a legend who is underrated, underappreciated, but still very iconic, at least to me.
Yes. And to many the world over.
And to you.
And to me.
And to gays all around the world.
All around Twitter.
Today... we will be discussing the legendary...
We're talking about Heidi Montag.
Yeah. So get to the point.
Here we go.
Yes, we will be discussing Superficial, the album by Heidi Montag, which is celebrating its 10-year anniversary.
This month.
Yeah.
January 2010. If you can believe, we kicked off the 10s with... Heidi's Superficial, mm-hmm. really setting the bar for what was to come.
Yeah. I mean, I'll Do It was my number one most played of what, 2018?
Like yesterday.
Yeah. When we did our Spotify Wrapped in Red mm-hmm. promo video. Yeah, it was like either 2019 or 2017. Heidi Montag, I'll Do It was my most played.
Not everyone can say that they have an album that stands the test of time like that.
No, they really can't. Mm-mm. Some would call it a classic.
Some would.
That person would be me.
Yes.
So yeah.
So let's take it back.
Let's go back.
Just like our Britney Bitch podcast.
To the beginning.
That's right.
Which, you know, that song plays into her story.
Sure does.
Laguna Beach.
The scene, Laguna Beach.
Yeah. 2005. Yeah. It's like that meme account where it's like, it's 2005. Yeah. You and your girlies just opened up your new Razer phone and set body language yeah. as your ring back tone.
Life is good.
Yeah. It sure was, wasn't it?
It sure was. Yes, we're going all the way back to a little show called The Hills, which is really how this all kicked off.
Yeah, I mean, she made her debut on Laguna.
She did.
But then she really became a star. On The Hills.
Yes.
As the villain mm-hmm. of The Hills.
We love a villain.
You know what you did.
During that whole series, Heidi and Spencer became very self-aware.
Yes.
And Heidi became very preoccupied with the idea of fame and mm-hmm. superficiality. They even wrote a book about it, mm-hmm. How to Be Famous, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they truly are like... some of the most legendary villains in reality TV history.
Yes, they knew exactly what to do and how yes. to manipulate and how to act mm-hmm. And, you know, that continued past the hills and went into I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. Uh-huh. Heidi's memorable crying in the jungle. Mm-hmm.
The paparazzi photos.
The paparazzi photos. Most recently, didn't they do, was it Big Brother or was it, they both went into the house for something.
Wasn't it Celebrity Big Brother?
Celebrity Big Brother as Spidey.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, they love a reality show and they keep us entertained.
And so do we.
We certainly do.
Most recently in the Hills reboot, we have
that
legendary
right.
scene where she's talking about her old music, which we're going to continue that conversation today.
Yeah.
Where she, in her confessional, says, I'm really big in the underground gay community.
I'm really big in the underground gay community.
Which no one can say it better.
She's got a point.
She does have a point.
She's an icon. She's a legend. And she was and still is
still
the moment.
Is the moment. Yes. During that time, you know, you might not remember this because, well, it was actually infamous at the time. But this was also the time when Heidi decided to undergo a record, I think, or 10 surgeries at once in order to create the perfect body.
Which I made a GIF of this on realitytvgifs.com.
I remember this.
It's like a photo of Heidi's face and it just like pops up and it's like Botox.
Cheek lift
injections and it's just popping up. And then I remember there was someone that was like, what do you want for Christmas? And it was like, me. Oh, yeah. Or it's like, Santa, what do you want for Christmas? Me.
Yeah, this was all happening at the same time as this music career was ramping up. She decided she wanted to get into music. She was making a lot of money from the Hills and everything that came with that. So she put it into her body. She later says that that was a mistake, that especially doing it all at once, that the doctors were like, the doctor should not have been allowed to do that. And that it was a horrifying experience.
I bet.
I still remember the People spread that showed in depth like everything she had done and like the before and after shot and everything. And that interview where she's like talking about how big they were. I want them to be like a gene or something like that. Like it was like a very memorable moment. And like I feel like this doesn't happen anymore in like pop culture. Like it was so like trashy. I just think of like Fox, early 2000s, like reality TV shows, like that whole culture, TMZ.
Yeah.
Britney scandals.
Also, people don't really. So like she was bashed back then for getting all the surgeries and it was very negative. And I feel like nowadays when people do that kind of stuff, people don't really judge it as much. Like they get a lot of backlash if you're rude about someone getting something done.
Yeah. It's the culture has definitely shifted.
Very different.
You know, we look at the appearance of like the Kardashians and stuff, and that is like, sure, they get a lot of backlash, but it's not the same that it was in the like 2007.
No.
At all. But that at the time was shocking. She was in the headlines constantly. You know, she was getting up there with Paris, Lindsay, and Britney as far as like, she wanted to be up there. She wanted to do that.
Yeah, I mean, don't we all?
Exactly. So that was all happening. And then we started to get into music.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she had a pile of money, she started to invest in the real deal producers and songwriters. And looking back, it is astonishing what she invested in. She invested essentially in Britney level production, being a complete outsider of pop, just like buying a Britney album for herself.
Which
we
to
have
some
to
of us
yes.
is honestly a dream come true.
Literally what we would do with that check.
Like we have joked before about how I stan queens of pop who are trying to be Britney, like Trisha, Heidi,
Paris.
I have to support because I would do the same fucking thing.
Absolutely. And there was no subtlety. It was just so clearly an attempt to be on that whole blackout vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have to stand.
We have to.
In fact, her first song that she put out with a video was called Blackout.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Blackout, actually.
Me too.
Highly panned. I remember it premiering. Like I remember like the Perez Hilton post. I remember all of that.
Yeah.
Having to watch it with that fucking watermark and stuff. Fun fact about that song, if you didn't know, Taylor Momsen wrote that at age 8. For some reason, it was published, got in publishing. She had no idea that Heidi snagged it. And so a year later, someone asked her in an interview, like, why she wrote a song for Heidi Montag. And she's like, I wrote that when I was 8. What are you talking about? Like, had no idea. She was so weirded out by the whole thing, which is even more iconic. So That comes out. She, and I still remember the video, she's in a bikini on the beach. So, you know, the video, it was very straightforward. It was, you know, Heidi, a day at the beach. I assume Spencer shot that.
Yeah.
great cinematography, great gowns, beautiful gowns. Just, you know, there wasn't really a plot thought through there. And also, it was going to be panned no matter what. Yeah. That's, you know, that was Blackout. And then we started to get new songs leaking / being released, but really they would leak. Like, I feel like a Heidi song always just showed up. I don't think
That was the era of leaked songs.
Like absolutely.
Blackout, Britney, Blackout,
half
demos.
Of it was out already. More of it was out.
Yeah, this was like a way to get press.
It was really
to leak a song.
Like, this was truly the pinnacle of like invasive, like taking songs, taking pictures up skirts, like just
driving around in your car with your CD blasting so that
rebellion.
People would be like, oh my God, I'm shaking. What song is that? It was such an iconic era of pop culture.
And now that's why all the Gen Z babies make their like TikTok and IG stories of like Motorola Razors and stuff, like pretending they're in 2007. It's like, sorry, sweetie, we lived through that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome for that culture.
I never had a Razor. Did you?
No. No, I thought from the get-go they looked like they were shitty, like service-wise.
Yeah, I had the, it was like an LG.
The clam.
It was like a clam,
yeah.
But it flipped open and had two speakers.
Okay, I remember that one.
The full keyboard.
Yeah. I was just the chocolate. I was the like, it was like the swivel one that opened up.
Oh,
like switchblade.
Yeah. I never had the, what was the other really famous one? The Sidekick.
The Sidekick, right.
I never had that one either.
That was like Paris and Lindsay's, like that is synonymous with them, and like fighting over Sidekick text and like those texts leaking.
Right. I also had one of those Cybicos. Do you remember that thing?
No, I don't know what the Cybico is.
It was like Cybiko, and like this little, like it almost looked like a Game Boy with an antenna.
Oh God.
And I remember you could like text people that were like nearby, and it was so revolutionary.
Oh my God. I had an early BlackBerry too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I never did that.
Yeah. I felt very important.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we get, at this time, we're starting to get sprinklings of songs beyond Blackout. We get Higher and No More. No More has a very iconic cover, even now on streaming, of her weeping on a chair. During this time, they would plant stories in the press and then plant paparazzi pictures. So like when Heidi was sad, I think she was fighting with her mom, I want to say.
I thought it was because the album flopped.
Oh, it was the album.
Right?
Yeah,
like
it wasn't
Heidi Montag spotted crying outside after her album flopped or something.
Maybe,
wasn't that the headline?
But I don't know if that would make sense for this one because it came out before the album. But maybe she did it multiple times. It's very possible. But
I definitely saw something somewhere where it was like,
it was very good. They put just a chair, like a dining table chair, in the center of a driveway, I think.
Yeah.
And she's just crying. It's candid, though.
Her staged paparazzi photos may be on the same level as like Courtney Stodden's.
Courtney Stodden's pumpkin patch photos. Definitely. Yes.
Like they have the Christmas tree ones.
Yeah.
The pumpkin patch ones.
That's talent.
The crying ones.
Yeah. I remember when those pictures came out of her crying and everyone just like, oh no, they didn't was the thing then. And everyone's like, can you fucking believe this?
I also love the video. It's one of my favorite GIFs to use where she's DJing and like hair flipping and dancing like on the pole. And then she has her headphone, which we have on right now. So I'm basically that GIF where she's someone listening will know the GIF I'm talking about.
Okay, so Heidi says when the pictures came out, let's see. In 2008, she was posing on a chair, but also being cradled by Spencer and just weeping because of negative reviews of the Higher video. It's so good. You really have to, if you haven't seen them.
The photos are great.
The photos are so good.
The negative press about the video is
warranted.
I mean, I stan, but like it is
she, yeah. So for the Higher video, she's also just on the beach
in a pink bikini, just like running around.
She put her heart and soul into that, you could tell. So she comes out with No More and she's crying on the chairs. Really quite a moment in pop culture. But just, she soldiers on, which is really the takeaway. Mm-hmm. Just like every great pop artist, she continued. And she released, actually, I think this is very underrated, as far as this whole trajectory, Overdosin', mm-hmm. with her 80s physical music video of her in workout gear.
Yeah.
That's like actually fun. That is a pop star thing. And if she wasn't so like mercilessly like dragged in the media, I feel like, even now, that would have been a little bit more well received. There was actual like effort in that.
She invested in the music. It took her a little while to invest in the videos.
I don't know that that moment ever actually came, but yes, this actually probably is her biggest budget video, which is really saying something.
Could you imagine if she had Trisha Paytas director back then?
Things would be a lot different, that's for sure.
It would literally, 10-year re-release of Superficial.
Overdosin' would just be a shot-by-shot remake of Womanizer at that time.
Oh my God.
Which would have been great,
legendary.
Obviously. Yeah, so Overdosin' comes out. I feel like the response was equally negative, even though I definitely enjoyed. Also from this era is Fashion. Unfortunately, an unknown artist named Stephanie Germanotta ultimately sang that version on the Sex and the City soundtrack, was it? Or was it just a leak of her demo?
I think it was just a leak of her demo.
It was just a leak of her demo. Because Fashion is written by Gaga and then recorded.
This is a place for legends, okay?
And then it was recorded by Heidi. I'm not sure if Gaga intended for that to happen.
Probably not.
But written in 2007 for the Sex and the City soundtrack, Red One gave it to Heidi Montag. Her cover was poorly received. So Red One released a statement saying, Fashion's all about fashion.
Oh.
The concept of fashion was basically, you know, fashion.
The concept for the video Circus is basically about, you know, a circus.
The original version by Gaga was featured on Ugly Betty, however, and Confessions of a Shopaholic soundtrack. And then Spencer Pratt came out on record and said, Lady Gaga is repulsive and Heidi's a far more talented artist and her version of fashion kills Lady Gaga's. Which,
you know
some of that statement might be true.
To some people, I feel like in that era, though, because you know that Lady Gaga loves this shit.
Yes.
And especially in that era of time, because her whole thing, obviously, the fame,
fashion,
and that whole
superficial
pop culture, whatever. You know, she's a gamer. She watches reality TV. Like, I feel like Gaga would stan doing a Heidi Montag song.
Completely.
Right?
Definitely.
Like, she would look back and be like, that's iconic.
Absolutely. I'm sure she has no regrets about that.
No.
So I think that was very ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gaga hasn't really touched that song since, but...
Has she added it to the Enigma set list?
Not yet. She performed it briefly on Monster Ball, I think once, or for a few days. And then it was the theme song for Fashion Star in 2012 with Jessica Simpson.
Wow.
A short-lived show there. Really, it's just, you know, it's gone. It's gone through the years. Fashion lives on.
Timeless, some would say.
Timeless song. And then, of course, we had another leak on the Britney side. And we do discuss this on the Britney podcast called Dramatic. Now I'm gonna give him what he wants and more. All those explicit things that I told you, know places you couldn't go. You know where I'm talking, you were too dramatic. No, 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 you're not the one I thought you were. Now there's another ringing my bell, and under his spell, you're too dramatic. Understand it's over. You know, this is...
What do I want to say here?
It's so dramatic.
Oh, baby, fuck yeah. It is probably one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yes. And that is difficult to get. Not everyone can record that.
There's a reason why it was never released.
There was. Britney has no idea it was even released with Heidi, for sure. There's no way she knows that that even happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But the fact that Heidi was able to buy this, even though it was never mastered and released.
Yeah.
I mean, can we get her to buy Rebellion?
Honestly.
Is what I want to
know. She probably has it. It's probably in her collection with her crystals.
She, of all people, came closest to getting the original doll demos than anyone else.
And who knows what she actually has.
So for that, we stand.
We do stand. But unfortunately, that I believe that even got a play on Ryan Seacrest. And just crickets to that.
C100's top 9 at 9.
A nice cis to decease from Larry Rudolph and company, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, so that was put the kibosh. Now, at the same time, in fact, even earlier than some of these songs, I think, the first play of Body Language was on Ryan Seacrest, which she, because obviously there was backlash, she pretended that it was a joke song, that she didn't mean for it to be representative of her art, even though, obviously...
It's one of the best.
Exactly. It had the uncredited Spencer Pratt rap verse.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I don't hate it.
I love Body Language.
It's, well, yeah, but I don't even hate the Spencer rap.
But you know what I actually think is the reason it's not on the album? I bet you that sample wasn't cleared. I bet you no, because it is on streaming.
Yeah, it's on streaming.
But it would not surprise me, given all the theft that she's demonstrated to this point with music, that like maybe they didn't have it at the time or something. I don't know. But that had to be expensive, I think.
What's the sample?
The it samples Yazoo's Situation, which was released in 1982.
Oh.
It was a #2 hit in the UK. It was a hit here.
I did not know that.
But yeah, it's this... it's that beat, which, and I think it's been in a bunch of other songs too. There's like sampling in, yes, actually Legends Only, the Saturdays' If This Is Love, and Snoop Dogg's Boom, and some other ones, and Body Language.
Well, as the years go on, I feel like more songs are just going to be sampled and sampled and sampled.
That's
so
true. But she was a pioneer of that. And now at this point, so many things had fallen out of the sky that she started lumping them into like EPs, including the Wherever I Am EP, which incredibly features a remix with Machine Gun Kelly, who is now like a person in like pop culture. But that was probably one of his first gigs ever, which is, you know, I love that though. I love when there's like a rap verse from somebody who eventually becomes somebody,
right,
on like something hilarious at first.
And then they have to look back on their catalog and be like,
I mean, lipstick.
For people like us to bring up.
Yeah. Lipstick Luxury, Jeffree Star, Nicki Minaj.
She's got a point.
Literally the first feature on, I think, like a major label-ish situation.
I'm Nicki Minaj and that's Kesha.
Yeah, so she starts putting together EPs. Now we're getting close to the album release, but before that we have a performance that really sets the tone for the era.
Yeah, this is a legendary moment in pop culture.
It really, really is. So legendary that we even have the leaked rehearsal footage, mm-hmm. like 2 takes of it, I think.
Yeah. It is nowhere to be found on the internet,
no.
except for here. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was asked to perform at the 2009 Miss Universe pageant.
Who
difficult
better?
To get.
Yeah.
Performing Body Language.
Now, to provide the music with her hit single, Body Language, she's a celebrity. Get her out here, Heidi Montag.
In a knockoff Britney 2000 diamond suit with like random black stripes down the pants.
Yeah.
Which didn't make any sense.
Nope. On this, those were the tearaway marks.
Or maybe she was trying to have it look a little different than Britney.
I don't know, but like everyone who saw it was like, oh, that's Britney.
But like, don't you want that outfit?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. That was a moment. Yeah, she comes out and she does choreography.
It's a little...
You know what? It's better than some of the girls do now.
That is true.
It is still very awkward giraffe, but it's like...
It's a routine.
It is a routine. She had more steps than a lot of the girls can handle these days.
That is true.
It does not really go over well. Well, I don't know that anyone saw it.
No. People know that it happened because we bring it up.
Wait, yes. Yeah, that's true. Definitely look it up. It's, you know, she performs in between them announcing the 5 million contestants.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. They're like, Miss Zimbabwe, Miss Australia. And then doesn't 5 minutes later.
Doesn't it cut into the middle of the performance? Uh-huh. Like, she's doing body language. She comes out and performs. And then it cuts into like an interlude being like, heroes, all of the queens of the world. And then it goes back in.
Yep.
Like, they use her instrumental as like the underground music.
Yeah.
Which is kind of iconic.
It is.
Someone had to master that.
So, exactly. Leak it. Yeah, so she delivers that. Obviously, the anticipation has never been higher for the album.
Oh, higher?
higher. Yes. So, and finally, we reach the album release date, which happens in January 2010. The album was created with what is widely reported as a $2 million budget.
Yeah, which she's talked a lot about since.
She has. She's done some really cool interviews since about...
Didn't she say she went broke because of it?
She definitely says that every time she says she went broke funding this record. She eventually drops it in January, and the critical reception or the commercial performance is allegedly 1,000 copies sold on the first week.
Which is difficult to get. Not everybody has that.
Which, literally, that's hard to do. That's...
Yeah.
Number 41 on the Heat Seekers albums chart, which means number 141.
Which, like...
At least it was on a chart.
Was it even pushed out, though? Like, I feel like...
I also think it was one of the first...
Was it even printed?
Digital, yeah, like, I feel like it was one of the first digital albums. So, Pioneer, she kind of led the streaming revolution.
Right, Beyonce's shaking.
Yeah. It did not earn back the $2 million that she spent on the production.
Until this week, it will.
Until this week.
Because you're all going to go and stream it.
Go stream it.
And then she'll make back everything that she spent 10 years later.
The songs were downloaded 6,000 times during the first week of release, with none of them charting. Which,
all right.
And she says, rightfully so, that it was due to a lack of promotion, which, you know.
We're here to do that now.
We're here to do that now. You're
yeah,
welcome.
I see 3,789 reviews on iTunes, 2-star average.
Okay.
Now, okay, for all the joking that we do about everything,
mm-hmm.
This is not a 2-star fucking album.
No,
that
it's
is a
not.
Lie. And anyone who listens to pop would not agree with that.
It's true.
It's at least a 4.5.
It's, well, that's high, but it's, I mean.
At least a 4.
Yes.
A solid 4.
Yeah. I will say that. The ratings are just a reflection of who she is and not the music.
Right.
I don't think it could have been Toxic, which it kind of was because it's Kathy Dennis in a second, and they still would have dragged it. Like,
true.
I think there was no way she's going to get good reviews. But she's also, it's not like she's completely innocent by any means. Like, she was purposely annoying the shit out of people.
Oh, yeah. She knew what she was doing.
So... She was kind of asking for this.
Right.
All press is good press, allegedly, except when it comes to sales, which did not translate.
Yeah.
But she was definitely, I mean, she was the villain of the show, and she was, you know, annoying everyone with her music.
Yeah. Wasn't this like the era of like post Stupid Girls?
Yeah.
By Pink?
Yep. 2006.
So, yeah.
Yep.
So most of the media hated on...
Absolutely.
These types of people.
Exactly.
Except for us.
Exactly. We were just championing them from below in our closets.
Yeah.
But no, we're out by now, so we're good.
Oh, yeah. I was graduating college like 5 months after this came out.
Yeah. So, yeah, should we go through the album?
We sure should.
The album kicks off with a bang with "Look at me, baby, how I'm doing."
Mm-hmm.
"Look how I'm doing" is incredible. Show-stopping. Never before done.
It's also very hilariously self-aware.
Yeah.
Because that was the other thing that I loved about all of this, is that, like, she was singing as if she was a queen of pop.
Yeah.
And, like, on top of the world. And, like...
Diamonds for Breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is everyone's fantasy.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least mine.
Your fantasy, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as we said before in a previous episode, if I was a pop star, I would be BB Rexha.
Yes, T-Rexha.
So
yes.
If T-Rexha had an album, the theme of it would be trying to be Britney.
Absolutely.
And I would look like Trisha Paytas.
I mean, I see the whole vision.
Right? Like, that's T-Rexha.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Trisha Paytas with red hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Completely.
And just being like, power bitch moves. And I would call my debut album Skinny Legend.
You have the full marketing strategy for this down.
Well, when I'm out of a job.
$2 million, Kathy Dennis? Yeah. Hey.
Okay, but if I had, oh my God, could you imagine if I had $2 million?
Oh, it
I
would happen.
A pop song?
It would absolutely happen.
Oh my God. What would I call my first single? I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I on the album would be the song, Yeah, featuring Paris.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Clown. Skinny Legend.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be all my song titles.
It's true. Okay, back to the music.
Yeah. This isn't about me.
But it kind of is.
Yeah.
Now, Look How I'm Doing is the one that actually... No, maybe Superficial is the one that had the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look How I'm Doing kicks off the album. Great song, written by Kathy Dennis. Now, y'all, that's an actual legend.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote Toxic, Sweet Dreams, My LAX for Rachel Stevens, which is supposed to be Britney's comeback to Cry Me a River. Like, she is that pop girl. Steve Morales, it's no joke to have these names on her music, and it is a Britney level record.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is you could put Britney on all these tracks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look How I'm Doing definitely is one of my favorites from the album, and it just keeps going into Turn Your Head, which, ugh, an actual Britney song for sure.
Literally.
Blackout era Britney.
I mean, if you liked Britney Jean, which like isn't...
That's a choice that you might have.
Okay, that's not where I was going with that. What I meant to say is like Britney Jean is not Britney,
mm-hmm.
and like neither is this.
Right.
But like you could just close your eyes and pretend that it is.
And turn your head.
Yeah. Like I've played like Freaky and I'll Do It like out before, and people are like, oh my God, I love this Britney song. And I'm like, I
yeah,
know, right?
It's so good. Turn your head, totally.
Just turn your head. Keep the dance floor lit. Yeah.
It's incredible. This just makes me want to... I'm going to listen to the record after this again. I just... Every time that song, that's good.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because I tweeted last week.
Yeah.
I quote retweeted Troye Sivan, and it was like... Because he had said,
yeah,
in this house we don't listen to anything but pop perfection.
Yeah.
I was like, me listening to Superficial.
But actually.
And then you texted me and you were like, oh my God, do you want to do a deep dive? I was like, yeah.
The timing, the stars aligned, mm-hmm. pop excellence jumped out. The next song, Fanatic, is the only official single, I believe, from the album. Oh no, Superficial was the single.
Superficial, and then I think Fanatic was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be single two. That's what the note was. Yeah, it was supposed to be single two, but shockingly the reception was not positive enough to warrant a second single. But, you know, maybe she will release it, 10-year anniversary. You never know. Fanatic is a bubbly, more like a bubblier, like, it's even more like, I don't know how to describe it.
It kind of reminds me of Britney anticipating-ish, like, oops mm-hmm. sound going into, like, Britney with the electronic.
Yeah.
Bubbly pop.
Yeah, even, like, Brave New Girl-ish.
Right.
He would eventually, the producer, Kool Kojak, would eventually reunite with Britney on Hold On Tight, which is a different vibe than this one.
Oh, Hold On Tight spelled
T-I-T-E.
T-I-T-E. Yes.
And some editions.
I'm aware.
Yeah. So he gave the better Britney song to Heidi. That's fine. Yeah, this is a fun one. Even reminds me of like a bit of like Carly Kiss era bubble pop.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Should we move on to Superficial itself?
The title track herself.
The title track. And we actually haven't described the beauty that is the album cover.
Oh, we haven't.
There are layers to that because, you know, it's a camera lens and it's superficial.
So, oh, it is a camera lens?
Oh my God, did you never notice?
No.
Yeah, that's a camera lens.
Oh.
And there she is in front of it. You know, it's really just like...
I thought it was just a light.
You know, we live in a society...
center of attention.
It's commentary, yeah. you know, it does kind of perfectly encapsulate the album. I'm glad it's called Superficial. It makes total sense.
Right. Well, that's like, she's coming off of the era of like paparazzi. Mm-hmm.
TMZ culture,
which, you know, people these days frown upon and like,
yeah,
hate all of that. But it was an aesthetic.
It was.
And it was a look and it was an art.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to be paparazzi'd.
Yeah.
My MySpace photo shoot.
Who could forget?
I think it's iconic.
It is, undoubtedly
so. That sums up that era.
It does. And this kind of song certainly encapsulates the mood of the era. They say I'm superficial, some call me a bitch.
They're just mad because I'm sexy, famous, and rich.
I mean, that is the epitome of like what that era was. It was tabloids, TMZ, like reality show overload. It was just, you wanted to be seen, MySpace, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to say she was the premier archivist of history of this era, but who else is doing it like Heidi? I don't know.
Right. It's such a good homage.
Yeah. Just like Blackout sounds like 2007, this sounds like that era. It's a shame it came out in 2010, because looking back, that is insanely delayed for when this album should have come out.
Yeah, this is like a 2008.
For sure. And it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Because by 2010, we were getting into Hold It Against Me and that
pop
era.
Pop changing.
Pop was already changing. So even though these songs were probably done 2 to 3 years before, it didn't come out until much later when the sound had died down. Who knows how it would have gone if she actually released when it was meant to come out? Because at this point, it is kind of already like a little time capsule.
Or if she like released under an alias.
Oh, yeah.
Like a masked singer.
Like Taylor's?
Niles Strober.
Niles Strober.
Or like Marshmello.
Marshmello. Oh my God, yes.
Was just like an avatar.
Yeah. Oh, she'd be the Hatsune Miku of...
It's just me.
of America.
Heidi.
There's still time.
There's always time. You're never too old to start a new dream.
Oh, it's so
true. I think
true.
I posted that on my Instagram the other day.
Oh, you did?
So corny. But you know what? It's true.
Now, the next track, More Is More.
More MILF.
More MILF. More. Oh my God. That's true. This is actually, shockingly, her only... It did chart. This song charted number 50 on Billboard's Hot Dance Club Songs in July 2009. So give it up for her. She's a charting artist. Steve Morales, LP, that's the name of the artist and songwriter who wrote this. She's actually gone on to do, she did Cheers, Drink to That for Loud.
Oh, so good.
And a bunch of, like, she's done stuff for Leona and Rita Ora and Cher's Closer to the Truth album. She's part of a certain circle of songwriters that do great things. So, More Is More, released April 3rd, 2009. You know, it's about going to a club with friends.
Yeah. I mean, there is a theme here.
Yeah. It's, you know, about, like, dancing. You know, that this is also her only explicit song, as far as I know. It's fucking chaos in here.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, she pushes the envelope in ways other artists are too scared to do. I think it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
The song eventually rose to 27 on the Dance Club Songs chart.
Wow.
You know what? Many do not have that to their name.
Melissa Gorka does.
Oh, that's true.
She also charted.
And that is exactly where she ranks, you know, the same quality of, like, on display is... was that song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this song was released a while back and it was on those EPs that she dropped ahead of the time. So yeah, we love More Is More. Probably her clubbiest song too, like, as far as the, well, some of them are faster, but I feel like this is the, clearly it was the most well received at the club.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's the one that charted.
I know.
It's not the best on the album.
No, it's not. Presumably it meant it had to have been played at a club at that time period, and I would have loved to have been there. Somebody had to have pressed play once.
Right. Me.
Yeah.
That's why I charted.
My first DJ gig.
Yeah.
Now, the next song.
She's a standout.
Could be a favorite overall, but no, there is one other one. But One More Drink. Now.
This isn't top three of the album.
Yeah. This song, arguably a little problematic lyrically, because it's like. I will do things once I am not completely in the right state of mind. But whatever. It's her prerogative. Did you know, co-written by Dawn of Danny Kane?
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
And this is after Danny was...
Yes.
Right?
It was right after Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Yeah.
2008, I think that was.
Mm-hmm. Legends only.
Legends only. Done with the Runners and Dawn. And God, it's crazy how many names she has on this album. One More Drink is so, so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's about, you know, having a drink and then another. And then she'll be in love. And I'll be in love.
I love the one note she hits where it's like,
oh,
one more drink.
It's so good. It's a key change. Whoever did that on that, you know, on
whoever hit that button.
Whoever hit that button.
It's going to be so bad. Okay.
You could hear them slide the note up on the auto tune.
Goals.
Pure pop excellence.
Yeah. So if you, you know, I mean, if you've made it this far into this episode, I feel like you're already in with us.
Right.
But if you only want to give this album just a minute of your time.
Yeah. A skim.
Start here.
Yeah. Honestly.
Well, start. Yeah.
Like, maybe at least, you know, look how I'm doing. But then, yeah.
And then next up,
mm.
we have a song called Twisted, which is probably the most angsty on the album.
Oh, by far. She's got layers, and one of them is being a rock goddess.
Yeah.
And Twisted, I will say seriously, like, I did not expect those vocals. She is yelping.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she sounds crazy, but, like, it's kind of a serve, like, as far as vocally.
Mm-hmm. She's got a message.
She has a message. This would sit well in Lindsay Lohan's Speak.
Ooh.
Totally. Pop rock. Even Hillary's.
It is.
Hillary's album in 2003.
Yeah.
Yep. Very that. Very pop rock, angst. Electro pop rock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Speak is so good.
It really is.
When are we going to do that deep dive?
Oh, very soon. 2004 was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Almost, so in 2024, we got you.
Almost 20 years of Speak. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Yeah. Twisted, I would say, is the most surprising song on the album.
Yeah. It definitely takes a little twist. It
does. Evanescence is shaking. next song up is called Hey Boy. This is not my favorite song.
Yeah, no. This is probably the most forgettable.
Yeah, it is. But it's still not bad.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like, it takes a little twist with Twisted.
Yeah.
Into, like, more angsty-ish
moment. Yeah, there's
moment.
Guitar. You know, when she's taking us on a journey here.
Yeah, and then it picks back up.
It does.
But this one's, you know,
yeah,
she's
about
the intermission.
There's a boy, and she's like, hey. And
yeah.
So that, you know, that's how you know. But then we get, I think, the most experimental on track 9 with My Parade, which has, like, the weirdest... It's not Gwen Stefani, but, like,
Baychella's shaking. it is. It's very interesting how literal she goes with the sounds. Like, it's literally a parade.
It's
sound.
Literally a parade.
Yeah, like it's
very experimental.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. I like that she really goes full force with it. It does remind me of Gwen because it's Hollaback Girl, that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you've got a marching band heavy, that's probably at least 500,000 of her budget went to booking a live marching band
right.
for that.
It's very like Jonas Brothers pom pom.
Yeah, she booked them in the studio and then they went on to do Baychella.
Literally, Beyonce was listening to this and she was like,
You know what? She's got a point.
Yeah. She's got a point. That was an awful Beyonce impression.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, though.
I don't either.
It's like not as... I mean, Hey Boy, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
But this one, yeah.
You know, it's just left lane. It's just she decided to take a chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, with $2 million, you might as well experiment, right?
Exactly.
Take a chance, make a change. Go broke.
Go broke. and break away, break the bank.
You know, I will say this album is more experimental than Britney Jean.
Mm, that's true.
So there's that.
There is that. Not also very hard to say at all, though.
Fact.
The next one we talked about, it's Blackout. Incredibly co-penned by Taylor Momsen at age 8. But then I think like brushed off by Kathy Dennis. I like this song. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's very pleasant. A very sweet, sort of like how I feel about Tila Tequila's. She has... Wait, I gotta go. I'm like...
Oh. She's dying.
She's dying. What was it called? Hideaway. Tila Tequila's Hideaway.
Wait, that rings a bell.
Well, it should ring a bell. It should be your ringtone.
I'm sure for a lot of people listening, it was.
Tila Tequila's Hideaway. Let me tell you what. I tried for years to directly contact her. I emailed her from all of the websites I've worked for in the past. She will not give it up. She won't even respond. Of course, now she's like a reformed Nazi nun or whatever. But you know what? At the time, she was a songstress, and Hideaway, so good.
MySpace era.
Yeah.
Fun fact from college. So I went to college here in New York, and there's a group of my friends that I'm still friends with that my nickname was Tila for the longest time.
Oh.
Because we were on the sidewalk and we were getting pizza or something, and Tila Tequila was standing on the sidewalk.
Oh my God.
Right there.
Oh my God.
And my reaction to seeing her standing there, I just stood there and I was like, Tila. And like, I guess I said it in a very exaggerated...
I can't imagine that at all.
What's the word? It's like vocal fry.
Yep.
Like kind of a way.
Yep.
And all my friends just busted out laughing. And so they would always joke and be like, Tila.
Wow.
And that's my only...
Yeah, that was your story. One chance to get Hideaway from her, but it's fine.
Oh, well, we don't stand her anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately, she's... You know, I don't even...
She's on some kind of a journey.
Yeah, but, I don't even feel anything negative to her. I just feel bad. Clearly, that's a whole other thing for her.
Yeah. Well...
Anyway, different legend, different topic. We're moving on to what I would say is probably Kyle's favorite
from
the album.
Yeah, well, it is. The numbers have proven it.
There is data
to this song. Also, though, like whenever I Instagram story the song, people mm-hmm. always respond back and they're like, this is so good.
It's a Britney song.
It is my favorite track on this album. It is so good.
I mean, and it is, it comes from a place of legends. Songwriter Stacey Barth wrote it, who also wrote Blur for Circus. Also wrote Heaven for Cheryl and Three Words. Cheers, Drink to That, a co-writer on that for Loud. Hummingbird Heartbeat for Teenage Dream.
Oh my God, I love Hummingbird Heartbeat.
Adore You for Bangers. Brown Skin Girl for Lion King, The Gift. Like, she has the same person who wrote on Brown Skin Girl wrote I'll Do It. I don't know a more legendary fact.
The taste. The talent.
That is incredible to think that Beyonce and Heidi Montag have a 1 degree separation with their songwriters.
You know, we called this Legends Only for a reason.
We really do. What?
That is insane.
It's insane. And it probably...
I mean, she had to have written this for, I mean...
Like circus era Britney.
Right? Like,
totally.
I feel like this has to be a Britney leftover.
Yeah. I think like the lyrics probably got the axe because of course there's some really...
Not the worst.
Oh, not as far as like scandalous, but as far as cheese. Like, unless they just...
I mean, Britney sang Inside Out and that's disgusting.
Right. You're still so opposed to that song.
The conservative mommy jumps out when I hear Inside Out.
I... Come Eat My Panties Off of Me is
Come
the...
Come eat my panties off of me.
I think that's the lyric that stands the test of time from this
album. It really does.
The chorus, just the whole song.
The beat, mm-hmm. the electronicness.
Sounds the most
Bitch,
like
I'll
a Britney
do this.
Song. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Breathy pop at its finest.
Truly. There is no irony. I'll Do It is just amazing. I remember playing this for friends in college. I don't think they liked it, but you know.
Well,
it's a taste issue there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is almost the end of the album, but we have one more called Love It or Leave It, which I draw comparisons, and as I did in our Confessions deep dive, to Like It or Not by Madonna. I feel like it's very this is who I am. You can like it or not. Love it or leave it.
Like, it's her sign off.
It's her sign off. Very.
She's like, I'm a singer. I'm a pop star. Superficial, rich, famous.
Love it or leave it.
Literally.
She's got a message. She had to say what she had to say.
Wait, didn't you say that in the Confessions Deep Dive where you
I
said...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was it's like, the same. I felt
just had
like
a what's it called? Deja vu.
I thought you were gonna say like a raven premonition.
Oh no!
You like looked off into the distance.
Well, I'm always looking off into the distance.
I know. That's just gay culture, though. I think you know. I think it was a confident way to end the album.
Mm-hmm.
Love it or leave it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. And what a phrase to really sum up this album. If you don't get it, you don't get it.
And a lot of people did not get it.
No. Most did not. Because they did not buy it on iTunes.
We did.
We did.
So we loved it and did not leave it.
I think this has some of the most interesting lyrics on the album. Independent women with an eye for the limelight, seeking short-term relationship highlights. Not your average housewife. You know what? She's so many points. Sometimes I max out your credit card. Sometimes a lap dance might be in order.
Yeah.
that is your weekend in a nutshell.
It really is.
And that is superficial.
Mm-hmm. And if you do listen on Spotify, they did tack on body language to the end. Which, I mean, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, it wasn't on the album.
Right.
Which it should have been.
Right.
But definitely for me, standouts are I'll Do It, Body Language, One More Drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say the same for me. This is an album that, in retrospect, was impossible to conceive that somebody would buy a Britney album, essentially, for themselves. We have to applaud for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think anyone was taking her seriously as a singer or should, but it's like, it is fun pop, so...
Right.
You know, if you can get over that, then... I think you can enjoy the album.
Right. Like, we appreciate our non-singers who just do breathy pop.
Yeah.
But then we also stan our Whitneys and Mariahs.
Right.
There's
why,
room
why not
for
both?
All of them.
There's room for everybody on my iPod, says Christina Aguilera. And it's true. You know, if you made it this far and you haven't heard the album, we're very excited for you to hear it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Give
and
us
maybe
your
it'll
thoughts.
Chart.
Maybe it'll chart. Honestly, just a few streams these days really does it. And if somebody wants to make it a TikTok sound, she actually could chart.
Yeah.
That's like how things
Wait,
chart.
So does, okay. So if someone makes a TikTok sound,
mm-hmm.
does that go towards streaming?
I think no. I think what happens is that it's popular. Therefore, people want to hear the song.
They go and they listen to
like
it
that
afterwards.
Arizona song that Roxanne.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So then they're like, oh my God, what's that song from TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
And they go listen to it.
Yeah. I'm
Got
pretty
it.
Sure.
Kind of like how I made the song from Peanut Butter Baby Chill Out that I used on Vine.
Yes.
Take Off.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that you can license the song for like a snippet, like the record labels do, but I don't think it's chart eligible. I don't.
Gotcha.
Maybe it is.
It's promo.
Yeah. Because people, you know, if you look at like the Spotify viral charts, and if you listen through to the choruses of the songs, you'll realize a lot of them are the songs like... that people use on TikTok, a lot of them.
Is Doja Cat still on?
Doja Cat says, yeah, Say So is like
all
over. And the like, I used to be so beautiful, now look at
me.
Oh
my God, the tragedy.
The transitions.
Didn't Reese Witherspoon do one of those?
Yes.
She did that one, yeah.
Yeah.
What's another one?
But that one just got a 2020, like, yeah. That got a 2020 remix, that song. It just... was released this week, actually.
All right. Well, everyone go make a remix to I'll Do It.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, do something clever with Come Eat My Panties Off of Me. But looking back, it certainly was a unfortunate move financially, but it was culturally very rich.
Well, hopefully with the Hills reboot
mm-hmm.
and her SponCon and yeah. their crystal business...
Yeah.
And this episode promoting Superficial,
mm-hmm.
she'll finally pay back that debt.
I hope so.
Because it's what she deserves.
It is. No, she won't be doing that with her latest release, which was called Glitter and Glory. She did have a little Christian bop that she released last year.
Too. Yeah, that was...
You know, we pretend those things don't happen because we need to let them know we don't care about their religious views. But you know, she did.
Unless it's Britney singing Brightest Morning Star. Then we're like, oh my God, Queen of Pop.
You're right. Yeah. She had, Heidi had a slight Britney Jean moment last year, but it's
she
fine.
Did.
It's fine. We just ignore that and we hope that, you know, our dreams come true and she stays superficial. What a time to be alive.
Right? Can you believe it's been 10 years?
I actually can't. That is weird to think about.
We need to get Heidi on this podcast.
Absolutely. We need to really talk to her about what really went down behind the scenes while writing the album and what she did to dig into the Britney archives.
Right. Like, how did you get in the Britney archives?
Right.
That's
is there
what
a
we
vault?
Really need to know.
Is there a Jeffree Star-esque vault of the demos?
We should do a Britney unreleased deep dive mm-hmm. and try and get Heidi Montag to come on it.
Comment on everyone and be like, oh yeah, I recorded that.
Yeah. We'll do like an original doll
yeah.
segment that would and have her talk about Dramatic.
That would be good. Heidi in Paris.
Let's work on it.
Let's work on that.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us and sorry if you were expecting Grammy commentary, but...
Well, this basically is. Yeah. This is who would have won Best New Artist for us.
Right. Best New Artist 2010.
Yeah. Album of the Year. Hopefully Lana Del Rey just won an award for Album of the Year.
Oh, right.
So if she didn't, this is our protest. This is right. our fight song.
Yeah. Brad will be flying back from LA and hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is all for this week. And again, we would like to shout out our patron. No, not patron. What's a patron? Isn't a patron like a
person
someone who goes to a restaurant?
Yeah, which is the point of Patreon because it's like they patronize your business.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like a play on patron.
Oh.
That's why.
You know, that's good branding.
It's good branding.
Well, thank you to our Patreon legend OnlyFans for all of your support. We appreciate it.
We really do. We appreciate everybody who's chipped in, and it really goes towards the hosting and all of the things involved in making this come to be.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
Yes. And until next week, we hope that you listen to Superficial mm-hmm. on Spotify. It will chart on the...
Or buy it on iTunes.
Yeah, or buy it on iTunes. And hopefully it charts
yeah.
our impact. Mm-hmm. And until then... We will see you soon.
See you soon. We'll do it.
Iconic.
Very.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.